Open God's Word to Revelation chapter 1. I have one great purpose this morning as we open God's Word, is that you would have a glimpse, that you would have a biblical vision of the radiance of God's Son for the year 2010 as we begin together this new year. Let us hear God's Word from the revelation of Jesus Christ. We begin with verse 4, John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve His God and Father, to Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, He is coming with the clouds. And every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of Him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And then here is this vision, a biblical vision of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's Day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. When I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Our great need is really not so much for more information, but we need to grasp these things and the grandeur and the greatness of what we have here as the biblical vision of who Jesus Christ is. He's no longer a baby in a manger. He's no longer even one on a cross crucified. He is, yes, the one who was buried and has risen again from the dead and ascended to His Father's right hand. And He's seated there interceding for us. He's the exalted Lord Jesus Christ. That's the biblical vision we need. And that vision will encourage us. And we need encouragement. That vision will give us passion for life. That vision will give us courage to do what God calls us to do, to obey even when it's difficult. And that vision will cause us to be those who worship the Lord. Now, certainly we have this word that's there, that's all through the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. That word is tribulation. It's a word, I think, in our time that has gathered upon itself all kinds of baggage and all kinds of end time novelties and everything. But here it's really speaking of that which everyone goes through in the daily trials of life, whether it's problems with health, problems with relationships, all the difficulties that are very real in everyday life, tribulation. It's part of living. And yet, there's this word of comfort to those who are suffering tribulation. Jesus said, "In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." Or again, Paul speaks, yes, through many tribulations, Paul speaking says that we have not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. There is a vision from God's Word that brings us this comfort, this help that we need in the midst of our difficulties. What is our greatest need as a nation? What is our greatest need as churches of Jesus Christ? What is your greatest need? Mine is to have that biblical vision of who Jesus Christ really is. This trumpeting liberator, who is He? And understand that vision and to apply it to our lives. To hear, to see, to know, and to experience the radiance of God's Son for our lives. John's first sensation of this vision is not a sight, but a sound. Notice verse 10, "I heard behind me a voice like the sound of a trumpet." And if you remember, it was a trumpet sound that signaled the coming of the Lord down to Mount Sinai to be with Moses. It was a trumpet sound that signaled His coming into the temple. It is the Lord's trumpet sound. You remember the shofar as that Day of Atonement. Every 50 years there was the blowing of that ram's horn, and there was liberation for the land and for the people. God's Son comes with a trumpet as He is this liberator, this one who has revealed Himself to us. And there's where I want us to begin. It's Jesus who identifies Himself to us. It's not we have made up a Jesus. It's not that this is the Jesus we need for our culture, or this is the Jesus that I feel like would be a help for us. It's that Jesus has revealed Himself to us. Notice verse 8, "I am Alpha and Omega. I am first and last." All of God's written revelation from A to Z is in Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is fascinating, really, how it comes out of the strata of the Old Testament. There's some 404 verses in the book of Revelation, but there's over 518 allusions to the Old Testament. You can't possibly understand this revelation of Jesus Christ if you haven't read the previous 65 books that God has revealed Himself to us. We need to have the humility to see all of God's revelation comes in Jesus Christ. From the beginning of Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, Jesus Christ is revealing Himself to us. God's Word is not to be toyed with. God's Word is not to be twisted and squeezed into our wishes and our feelings. We are to submit to God's Word. Here is the glorified God-man. Jesus Christ was born bodily. He took upon Himself a body. He lived bodily. He was the one who died on a cross bodily. He was buried. His body was buried. He rose again from the dead bodily. He ascended to His Father bodily. There's nothing here that's just some kind of mystical dream Jesus. And any attempt to diminish the bodily resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ must be rejected. Why? Because really it destroys the whole reality of God's great redemption. It's not just a redemption of your souls, but it's a redemption of body and soul. It's a redemption of creation itself. He's the Redeemer, the Liberator, for that which is groaning under the curse of sin. And He's come and identified Himself as the great Alpha and Omega, the God-man who brings redemption. But notice also in this vision that Jesus interprets everything and everyone. How do you see life? Is it how you feel about life and that's how you interpret it? Do you start with yourself? I exist, therefore I determine how things really are. Or do we begin with God? And that which should interpret everything, the Alpha and the Omega, the glasses through which we see life, should be Jesus Christ. Some of you, there are a few here who have had a great deal of training in psychology, even a degree in that. Some of you would be familiar with the Rorschach ink blots. You know, somehow or another one can look at this ink block and what you see there determines how they're going to understand your personality, or you kind of determine what these ink blocks have meaning, and they use these different techniques to interpret who you are. We are to see ourselves through Christ. We are to see life and interpret ourselves in life through this one that God has sent, Jesus Christ. We are to interpret the Bible through Him. You know, you can collect all kinds of facts in the Bible. There is a zillion facts there of who begat who and who is this and who's the king there and list of kings and all these things of floating axes and strange things of a talking snake to paradoxes and sayings, and you can be full of Bible knowledge and have it all memorized. But if you don't see Christ as the center, you'll never understand it. He is the absolute center and purpose of it all. The radiant Christ. Absolutely everything has meaning in His light. He is the last word. The Omega. The Z of it all. The final word. He interprets all the preceding words that God has given. It's not the million details. How easy it is to slip into having a high on how much Bible knowledge you think you can put into your mind, but not have Christ at the center of it all. Beware of merely having Him as another part of revelation of your understanding of things. Oh, that you put Jesus in the great religious hall of fame, Zoroaster of the Persians, and there as you come along, there's Buddha, and there, of course, is Moses and David, and there is Muhammad, and you have Jesus along with all the rest in the religious hall of fame. No. How do we see Him? God's Word tells us that He is the one who ascended to the Father. He is exalted. He is the last Word. He is the final revelation. He came. We read in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, that He came to the Ancient of Days. He is the Son of Man. It speaks there of His exaltation, His coming to the Father, His being seated at the Father's right hand, His glory and His radiance. He is this commanding, redeeming, glorious Savior, the Son of Man. He is one that you cannot control. You cannot put into the square that you have for Him. This is the resurrected, ascending, reigning, interceding Lord Jesus Christ. Who is He for 2010 in your life? As you look at the passage, I would ask you to focus for just a moment on verses 12 and 13. Notice that Jesus lives with His churches even now, bodily. He is at the Father's right hand as a man. But as God, He is present with us this morning. He is here, present. John says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to His feet, and with a golden sash around His chest. You remember how Christ came. We celebrated His birth in these days. He came in lowliness, born in a feeding trough. He was among those who were poor. He was there suffering with those who were needy. It wasn't something strange for Him to be with us, among those who are needy. He dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, John says. The glory is the one and only from the Father. But here He is speaking of being among His churches. Yes, those who are poor and needy. Churches that still are full of sinners, hypocrites even. Those who are inconsistent in a thousand ways. Churches that are tarnished. But Jesus loves them. The one who is from eternity is the one who lives among them and is with us as His people. He is pure. As verse 14, His head and hair were like wool as white as snow, and His eyes were like blazing fire. Jesus gazes at us, and His gaze purifies. He doesn't look at us. He looks into us. He knows us. And His gaze purifies us as God's people. And the fire will burn us until we worship Him. He purifies. Verse 15, His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. You remember Daniel chapter 2, how that great statue was put up and how all of that statue had, yes, gold and silver and all of these wondrous things. But the feet had something in them that when the rock came, the feet were made of clay. Here, the feet of this radiant Lord Christ, they're spoken of here being made of bronze. Bronze is that which has, yes, that element of iron and copper. The iron certainly does have the element of rusting, but the copper has that endurance. The two together is bronze. There's something enduring, something that's firm and established in this wondrous Lord Christ. He is not brought down. He never falls apart like the statue of Daniel chapter 2. He is the Lord. His feet are not feet of clay. He is the one whose kingdom is forever. It never rusts. It doesn't fall apart. He is the forever Savior of His people. He is with us and guarantees our endurance. Who is He? What does He show us? This picture that is before us here is one who is holding these seven stars. Somehow or another, in the culture we live in, people think that the stars still somehow or another control the people. But the reality is, the Lord is the one who controls all things. He holds them in His right hand. He holds His churches. He holds us in His right hand. And He is the one who runs the cosmos. The stars don't control us. Christ controls the stars. How does He do it? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. We know those words well. That the Word of God, yes, has this power, sharper than any two-edged sword. This Word of God goes forth with power. It can do that which the swords and bombs and guns and armies of men cannot do. It takes down kingdoms. It goes where borders and walls cannot resist its coming. Even the very gates of hell won't hold up under this powerful word that comes from the mouth of Jesus Christ. This word is the Word of God, and it's powerful and alive. Do you see Him this morning? Do you see Him in His power and glory? It speaks in our passage that He is the one, as it has His face, was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. The Son of God is radiant in power and glory. Do you see Him? I would ask you to do something as you're seated here this morning. Look at yourself for a moment. Are you in need this morning of encouragement? Do you have a tendency to be pessimistic? And here comes this problem, and oh, what are we going to do? I don't know if I even have the name right, but I've watched quite a few of these Pooh movies with grandchildren. And I remember this one character. I think you say his name Eeyore. Am I pretty close? And he can't smile. It's always down. We have a lady in one of our grocery stores. When I go in about 6 in the morning to get something, and she won't smile. I won't smile, she tells me. That's not Christianity. As Christians, there is to be an encouragement. He is the Lord of glory. He is radiant with power and glory. We are to be those who are encouraged. Secondly, seated there, think where you are this morning. There isn't to be any more half-hearted service to Christ. When we see Him, we are to be those who then have energy and are passionate for serving Him. We get to have the highest title on the face of this earth. And it's not king. It's not president. It's servants of Jesus Christ. That's the highest title. And we're to be passionate about serving Him in 2010. He is awesome as a master. And then there's no place for fearfulness. With this vision before us, a passage that as a very young Christian meant so much to me, to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, the simple words, verse 7, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." We are not to be those who are, "Oh, I guess so." To the contrary, we are to be those who are bold because our Master is King of Kings. He is the Lord in all of His power and radiance. Seeing Him changes everything. The glass can't possibly be half empty. It's being filled to overflowing because He is the one whose face shines with the very radiance of God's glory. And then, finally, it's that which would cause us to fall down before Him and stop being full of ourselves and to worship. Tribulations, yes. It can almost be trite to think that they're but stepping stones to go forward. But they really are when we see Him and enjoy Him. To see Him in God's Word. Do we hear His voice as many waters? He speaks with clarity and freshness. And He shines brighter than everything and everyone else if we focus upon Him. He will change us in the year 2010. The sun is the radiance of God's glory, an exact representation of His being, and He sustains all things by the word of His power. We belong to Him, body and soul. Let us enjoy seeing Him in the year 2010. Let us pray together. Our Father, we do ask for that wondrous blessing that Your face would shine upon us. O Lord, that Jesus Christ may shine upon us and we may see Him afresh and know and no longer be those full of pessimism, groanings as victims, but Lord, that we would know afresh that in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Father, we ask for that freshness to be given to us as we have a biblical vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, as we come to the Lord's table, that we may experience, know, enjoy, see and hear, and taste that the Lord is good. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, and bless us. In Jesus Christ we pray.